Alright, seems like we're live. G'day guys, my name's Alex, I am from The Tripod, and as we do every Wednesday night, break down every game of the NRL round from a betting perspective. I'll just get Jacob in here. Finally, it's been 12 months, in the making, and we finally got an app, so if you want to download that one, just search Tripod in either the App Store or Google Play, that's T-R-Y-P-O-D. You can get all our best bets in there straight away, our multis and all our competitions. Our bonus bet competitions will be run through there from here on out. So we just gave away $50 in bonus bets today. We'll do that on Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday this week as well. And we'll probably throw in a few extra comps for the NBA finals. But like our page, it's called Punters Pod on Facebook. If you, for some reason, can't get a fucking app, then you can find our tips as well on Instagram and Twitter. We're tripod_betting on both of those. And our website is tripodbetting.com. Jacob, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm well rested. It's been an 8-day turnover for us because we did the early round preview last week in lieu of the Anzac Day game. So good amount of time for us to refresh, and we need it because a lot of games didn't go away last week. But everyone knows how deadly we are on a bounce back round. And yeah, I mean, who can't get an app these days? I know, unfortunately, people outside of Australia and New Zealand can't get our app right now. I want to stress that it is just a first version. There's we want to thank everyone who has got involved and has used our app because people are loving it. But it's going to only get better. We're going to develop it. We're taking on board feedback, and we're going to hopefully expand and add even more features. But yeah, we should also start the show by giving a big shout out to Josh, who was our tipster of the month. We only had a week of tips because we released the app a week ago, but he had 11 tips with an ROI of 555%. So to spell that out, that would mean for every dollar that you placed on Josh's tips, you returned $5.55. So on average, he's winning every single tip of his 11 tips at odds of $5.55, which is just insane. A few other boys did well, and I will actually explain how that's possible for Josh. I don't want to give away any secrets, but he did hit a multi at 40-1, which certainly is going to help your ROI. And I can tell you right now, that multi is not luck. He was actually taking advantage of the same game multi glitch that Sportsbet has at the moment. And I'm just going to leave that as a teaser. If you want to see what he put in his same game multi, there is a certain combination of players that gives you far better odds than you should get. And that 40-1 had a far better chance of 41 of cashing. And it did. And a few of the other boys that we know got on that too.
Definitely. That bet should be like 10-1. We talked about that, you know, amongst ourselves as well. I think like 40 or 50 tipsters are on the leaderboard there in the positive. And a lot of them are, you know, well over 100% ROI, but like 200%+ ROI. So there's really good tips in there. Good banter, and obviously all the comps and multis will be there as well. And the app will be the first place now that we post our best bets first thing tomorrow morning. So we'll post it in the app first and then obviously in all the normal channels, but the lines may have moved by then.
Last Wednesday, we posted our best bets and the app crashed. And what we knew that there could be thousands of users, and thanks again everyone who has downloaded it, because there are, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 people using it. But what the developers didn't kind of factor in was the influx of hundreds to 1,000+ people entering the app in a space of a couple of seconds because of the notification system where you can get notified when someone you follow tips. As soon as we did a post on Wednesday morning, literally it got plugged up and it basically crashed. And that's going to happen. And we do apologize to people who tried to use it on Wednesday. It was really frustrating, but it's, as I said, it's a work in progress, and we have got good feedback so far. So we're happy so far, and it's only going to get better.
Absolutely. So we should get stuck into the games. It's round 9 now, so we've got a pretty good feel of what's going on in the NRL season. We will do it slightly differently today for you guys. I know that every time we do the pod, like, we'll do a little spiel ourselves about what team we like and kind of whether we like them halftime, second half, if we like the total. And often people kind of jump to conclusions and then pounce on those best bets straight away before we can kind of spit the words out of our mouth. So I'm going to kick it off and introduce the games, and then I'm going to straight away tell you some bets that I have for that game that I like. And then I'll hand it over to you and you can sort of say if you agree with those or not. And then we can straight away make them best bets, and then we can kind of go over our reasoning afterwards. First up, Thursday night, we've got the Broncos hosting the Bulldogs at Suncorp. 40.5 is the total in that one. And I hate to do it to myself, but I think we have to take the doggies in this one. I've got three bets that I really like for this one. I've got dogs plus four in the first half. That's $1.80 on Crown Bet. Tell me if you like that one. Yep. We got dogs to win a half. $1.80 on Crown Bet. That means they can win the first or second half. So it resets at half time. And the Broncos to not score three unanswered tries. That's $1.90 on Bet365.
We can take that one. For me, that one may still be there tomorrow. Those other two you just mentioned won't be. I'll add two more to that, and you can tell me if you like these ones. Let's just take the dogs plus 6.5 on Ladbrokes at $1.92. It's flat six in some places. And how about this for even juicier value? Let's take the dogs to be winning at halftime or full time. That's paying $2.25, and that's on Sportsbet. We obviously, if they're winning at halftime, we're already cashing. We're getting well over double our money. And if they, even if they're not winning at halftime, we do think it's going to be a close game. Now here's the part where we tell you why, and you get that chance to win at full time. And look, I was thinking about it. People call us disloyal. This pod is coming to you live from Brisbane. We've grown up as Broncos fans, but we've grown up with an appreciation for how to make money betting. And unfortunately, loyalty will not get you very far. If you want to make money betting. And I don't know if we've bet on Brisbane once this year. I couldn't think of it off the top of my head, but it's simply because Brisbane came third on the ladder last season. And in a lot of people's head, they're still a top four side, but in our minds, they aren't. And they've had a couple of key injuries this year as well. And they're not as good as what the public thinks. And I know that we went against them last week and we got burned and we will cop that one. And we actually took the doggies last week. And they lost the unlosable. That we had them plus 6.5 against Penrith. They're up 12-2, and they lose by 8. But that game was actually really close. And look,
we still went 3-3 on that one.
Yeah, we still did okay. I had unders, but enough about last week. Look, this week it is a kitchen sink game for the Dogs for sure. Their season's on the line, and you look at all the 16 rosters going into round 9. The Dogs are pretty much the healthiest of any team. They've got the team that they're going to have. This season, they've got no excuses. I mean, Aiden Tolman has not been, you know, a star performer for them for years. Jeremy Marshall-King is doing a better job in the halves than Frawley. And simply no excuse but to come up here and give a great performance against Brisbane. And look, I don't love the spot for Brisbane. I think the Bunnies fell asleep against them last week, made them look good, made them look better than they are. Also think that you can't underestimate the loss of Moose. I think losing Maguire on top of losing Gillette, you've just lost two international forwards there. Matty Lodge is playing with a banged up ribs. You got McCulloch back early off an elbow injury. It all spells a very even matchup to me. And yes, I can understand why Brisbane are favourites, but I can't understand why this line would be above six. So it forces our hand. We bet numbers, not teams, and we're all over the Dogs with those five plays.
Yeah, we do like the Dogs. I might have to speed this one up. You pretty much said it all, mate, but we think these teams are pretty much even. So even though Suncorp gets a 3.5 to 4 point advantage, we still think the line's too high for the Doggies. But yeah, just from a situational spot as well. I mean, the Bronx, they did win last week, but I thought that Souths were better. I thought they fell asleep in the second half and they could have easily run away with that game if they, you know, would have scored an extra try in the first half. They were all over the Broncos and just let them back in. So I think that says a bit more about the Bunnies being terrible last week than it does the Broncos being good. And then you've got the Dogs who, you know, really should have been leading Penrith by more than 2 points going into the half. They were up 12-2. And really, they could have won that game. And if you flip those results, this line probably is 3.5-4. So, yep, I like the Dogs. We'll roll with those four or five players or whatever we just gave out. And we will move on to Friday, the early game. We've got the Knights hosting the Rabbits. This line sitting at roughly 4 points. And 41.5 the total. And this one's pretty simple for me. I'll tell you why after, but I do think we should take Souths in this one. The line's moving to 4.5 in most places, and we can catch a 3.5 at $1.91 on Will Hill. And we can also get Souths minus 1.5 points in the first half for $1.91 on Will Hill as well. That line is 2 and 2.5 in most places.
We are sharing a brain, and that is a scary thought because I know how thick your mind is. I had those two identical plays written down as well.
Yes.
And we both spoke this morning, so we kind of know which way each other's leaning, but these are our first thoughts from a betting perspective. We respect how well the Knights do play at home. So, you know, this is by no means a slam dunk. Although we think the Bunnies are significantly better than Newcastle, Newcastle gives nobody an easy win. in the Hunter. I get that, but when you got the line under four, it is, you just have to play the Bunnies. When the Knights are missing Mitchell Pearce, people may not understand how big of a loss that is because Manly was so bad in the second half last week. But trust me, it's going to come, whether it's this week or very soon, we're going to say, oh shit, yeah, the Knights season is really like looking grim without Mitchell Pearce. Unfortunately, that's just the case. And Bunnies, okay, they did miss Sam Burgess last week and, you know, they'll miss him again this week, but there's too much class for them. In this game, pretty simple. Yeah, too good for the Knights, and those lines are too juicy not to take.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, the Knights do have a better home ground advantage this year. It probably is up towards that 3 points. But what we always like to do in betting is, take a team off a loss against a team off a win. And this one, more so than anything, you've got Souths coming off a loss where, you know, in our opinion, they probably should have won that game. They let it slip in the second half. And you got the Knights coming off a game where, you know, they easily could have lost that one. And the only reason they didn't was because Manly was so putrid, like you said. You flip those results, like let's say Rabbits beat Broncos and Knights lose to Manly. This line's easily 6.5 this week. So we're getting line value there. And I think we got to roll with the far superior roster talent-wise, even though they're away from home. This line's cheap. Next up, we got the Panthers. Well, hosting the Cows, not technically, because it's on a neutral venue in Bathurst, and 38.5 the total. I think we have to take the Cows here. I've got three bets I like. I've got actually four. Cows plus two on Sportsbet $1.91. It's 1.5 in most places. We'll take that one. Then it may or may not be there tomorrow, but I think we probably should just pounce on plus one in the first half and second half on CrownBet. That's $1.90. If you're happy with those ones, mate. And then my favourite one, actually, yeah, Cows winning at halftime or full-time, $1.80 on Sportsbet. Like, they're fucking $2 to win the game, and you can get them $1.80 to win, to be leading at halftime or full-time, and you get to chill if they're up at half.
Yeah, and I agree with all of those ones. I had two of them written down. I didn't write down the half handicaps because I do think tomorrow Cowboys will still be an underdog, and if you've got an underdog, you can always catch at least half a point. I'm not too concerned about losing a plus one versus a plus a half in any half footy, although second half, certainly field goals.
Although even so, sorry, I'll butt in right there. I did have a good look around, and I think most of the plus halves were less than $1.90 anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly. So we want to get, that's great. So let's lock both of those ones in on Crown. And these days, there's trends for teams to nab a cheeky field goal even in the first half. So that plus one can be very important. And yeah, and plus two is a key number. Obviously, we understand Bathurst is a hell of a lot closer to Penrith than to North Queensland, but it's a good point because they've been so good at, what do they call these days? Pepper Stadium? Centrebet Stadium, it used to be, but
Penrith
in their home stadium, if it is Pepper, have been very hard to beat recently. So it can only be a good thing for the Cows that we move to a venue a little far out of Sydney's west. And I agree, I think I did raise a concern to you when we spoke about how good the Cowboys are. Look, we think that they're still really good, but, you know, the losses are piling up. 6 losses out of 8. There are no certainties to make the 8 now, especially when you consider they'll lose rep players origin time. And my big concern is their front row. I think they lost Jordan McLean and everyone said, oh, well, they didn't have him last year anyway. But he's a really good prop. He could potentially would have been knocking on the door for a rep jersey this year. You lose Asiata. I think he's an unsung hero of that forward pack. I think he's actually really good on the ball in terms of playmaking and really tough prop. And what you're left with is a guy like Scott Bolton, who's been a backup pretty much his whole career. Matty Scott, we know he's good, but his pedigree or his kind of reputation may precede him at this point. He's not one of the best props in the comp anymore, unfortunately. And then you got young Jensen on the bench again. He's a guy who was a rookie last year. So actually, they got beat up by the Raiders, and we didn't bet on North Queensland last week against the Raiders. We knew they were suspect in that spot. But down here against Penrith, we have to take them. One of the reasons is Penrith are not 100% healthy by any stretch. The injury bug continues to bite them. It could be something to do with the way that their training staff look. I don't know if that's getting few extra boys wanting treatment, but losing Dylan Edwards,
I'd take the whole year off
for this team. When you already lost Moylan in the offseason, you lost Mansource, you lost Wonga Blake. They are thin on outside backs. Maloney's playing the house down in the halves, but I don't think Penrith's had any big tests yet. And I think this is the one. I think the Cowboys win this game, hence why we're going to take those players.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Cows get it done. Nice that it's at a neutral venue, but put simply, I do think Cows are the better team despite how they've been performing recently. And you put this on a neutral and I think the Cows should be favoured. So we've got a flip fave there. I like that. Like you said, Penrith are still pretty skinny. I do like that they won last week against the Dogs and the Dogs fell asleep in the second half. We get a bit more value there. I do like that the Cows fucking were putrid last week. They got embarrassed. And what I do like actually is because the Raiders have been so poor all year. And so that's the team that people kind of think that they are. But you fucking watch that game. That was by far and away the best game the Raiders have played all year. They knuckled down indeed. They were very, very impressive. So I think that says speaks more about the Raiders than the Cows last week. But yeah, absolute home run spot for the Cows. This is a must win. And I think they do get the win. Speaking about the Raiders, we've got them hosting the Titans. They are 7.5-point favourites. And 45.5 the total. I don't love a side in this one, but I'll tell you what I do love. I love the unders, and I'll tell you why after I give you these three bets. We've got under 46.5 at $1.90 on Neds. That total is 44.5 elsewhere. We've got under 23.5 for the first half. That's $1.80 on Neds. Most places it's 21.5, 22.5, you know, juiced. And like you said, you might get a field goal or something like that. And then I think you're going to love this one. I racked my mathematics slash statistics brain. And I've got us a mechanical under 8 tries for the game at $2.01. So we'll do that by putting 57% of our stake on under 8.5 tries at $1.75. That's on Neds. And then we'll put the remaining 43% of our stake on under 7.5 tries, that's $2.35, also on Neds.
Yeah, we can lock those ones in for sure. That's extremely high. I'll write that down so that I can give a full summary at the end. So you had 46.5 the total. What price are we getting on that one? That's Neds.
$1.90 well, on Neds. $1.90.
And first half under 23.5 at $1.80 on Neds as well.
Yeah. And then so we've all got about under 8 tries. Sorry.
Yeah, and I got your mechanical. So as we said before, you've got to work hard to find winning bets sometimes. So that was a little bit complicated, but I'll rehash that one as well. And we would have liked the Raiders. You could get them as low as -3.5 last week. And in fact, if you're on our app, maybe you did because I saw that Sunday morning. I mean, people were texting me Saturday night saying, oh, take the Raiders. You can get the Raiders -3.5. And the issue is, you know, they had just beaten the Cows and you give that bet out and it's going to get smashed within a second. So it had been a long day, Super Saturday, so we slept on it. But on Sunday morning, you could still get the Raiders -3.5 in this game, which would suggest that the Titans and the Raiders are equal. They are not. The Raiders are the better team here. I have to understand that. So I posted it in the app, but once again, those odds got moved or that line got moved within about a minute. So we can't claim it as the best bet, but maybe if you're watching, maybe you got that -3.5. You'd be happy to have that in your pocket. And look, it's pretty simple. The Titans are not one of the best teams in the comp. They're missing Peets. They're also missing Copley, who are two very key players for them. The Raiders, on the other hand, pretty much full strength. I know that we're waiting until round 18 for Josh Hodgson, but they know how to play without him now. And after their best performance of the season, this is where you do go home and back it up now because they need to go on a little bit of a winning streak here, and this would be a great opportunity to do it. But I do agree with the underplays because the Raiders need to do it with defense, and they were very good defensively against the Cows last week. And the Titans have no other way but to defend really well and to keep games tight as they did against the Sharks. So they sound like some good plays. You mentioned the under a flat 8. So what we do is we bet some money on under 8.5 tries. We bet some money on under 7.5 tries. If it goes under 7.5, we're going to win both those bets and we're happy days. If it lands on 8 tries, we're going to win the under 8.5 and we're going to get our money back. It would take 9 tries in that match for us to lose. Do you know what the ultimate odds we're getting on that is?
For that $2.01.
We're getting double our money on that bet as well. So you want to put 57% stake on under 8.5 on $1.75 on Neds. And the other 43% stake on under 7.5 at $2.35 on Ned. Sounds good. There's some good plays on that one.
Correct. And, yeah, I really love the under in this one. I think it's a home run play. It might be my favourite play of the whole round. Firstly, we've got the Raiders. everyone at the start of the season was saying they are unfit. They're fucking letting in second half tries. The goal line defense was terrible, and it was. Let me tell you, they looked unfit with those big forwards. But sometimes those teams, all it takes is some match play, some match fitness. And I think, you know, into round nine now, the Raiders are getting a bit more match fitness. And when you're fitter, your defense doesn't suffer in the second half. You can defend well for 80 minutes. And that's what they did last week. They focused on defense against the Cows. They won the game. Why would they change that strategy? They're going to do exactly the same thing this week. Now, the Titans, like you said, they're a little bit depleted. Their playmaking is pretty woeful. They have Bryce Cartwright in the halves, and we saw how that went last week. We saw how that went last year with the Panthers. He's not very good. But another thing I like about the Titans is they do put in. They put in effort for 80 minutes, so they're not going to roll over and die if the Raiders are up 12 in the second half. So when you get two teams that are going to fight for the full 80 minutes and are decently fit, it's certainly an underplay for me.
Really good point about the fitness. I mean, if Ricky had these fuckers running hill sprints in January, they wouldn't have blown four games early in the season. They'd be in the top eight right now. But as you say, yeah, round nine, they've finally caught up and they've got match fitness like everybody else. And they're as good as everybody else now. So, yeah, it should be a nice tight game.
Definitely. Now, next up, we've got the Warriors hosting the Tigers over in Auckland. Warriors are roughly 5.5-point favourites and 38.5 the total. I've got, how many have I got here? I've got three plays that I'm going to run by you, mate. Line 5.5 in pretty much all places. We can get a flat four on Neds for $1.90. We can get the Warriors to win the first half in a three-way market. So essentially minus a half, $1.80 on Neds. That line's pretty much 2.5 for the first half everywhere else. And we can get, I think this total's too low. It's going to be fine over there. It's 38.5. We can get the Warriors over 20.5 points, $1.88 on Sportsbet. That is 22.5 in most places, that team total. I really love that one. Those are my three for the game.
Yep, I had the Warriors laying the minus four because nice. You actually, as we've mentioned before, it's not easy to make money. And most people betting on sports are not making money. So we don't want to do what most people do. And what most people will do is see absolutely putrid performance by the Warriors last Wednesday and write them off and say, I'm never betting on that team again. What do we do?
Yep.
We're all over them the next week because they've had 10 days to stew on such an embarrassing performance. And I think in seasons past, that Warriors team goes home and just goes, fuck, we are not as good as the other teams. We are just getting embarrassed every week. But this season, they can go home and they can say, we're embarrassed. We know we're better than that. We've won. So we've still won 6 out of 8 games this season. And, you know, we've got high ambitions this season. And at home, this is where you come out and show it. The Tigers, I do like it as well because the Tigers, had the Eels been able to execute, I think the Eels could have won that game by more than two on the weekend. So I actually think the Tigers were impressive to keep it as close as they did. But we tipped the Eels.
Yep.
We were happy with that performance. And, you know, as people may or may not realise, the Warriors have named a full-strength side for this with Johnson, Tohu Harris and Solomon Okata, my favourite player.
Yes.
With a long layoff, do expect them all to play, which is why we want to grab those good lines you mentioned. Minus four on Neds to win the first half. They will need to be winning it. It's a three-way market, but that's okay because, as you say, that line's minus 2.5 in most places. And what else did you just say? Oh, yeah, New Zealand to score more than 20 points on Sportsbet at $1.88.
Correct, yeah. And I think it's a good spot for the Warriors this week. Like you said, they get some troops back. You mentioned them already. They're off a really bad blowout loss to the Storm. I think that didn't necessarily take too much out of them because they just got blown out. And they get the extra rest, obviously, as well. So I really do think this Warriors side is legit this year. And like we said, they have one of the strongest home field advantages in the comp. Not in history, but not historically, but this year especially, because they are doing well. So I think that home field is worth about 3 points. In regards to the Tigers, like you said, I think it was a bit of a phony close loss last week. I thought the Eels were quite a bit better than the Tigers, and it shouldn't have been as close as it was. And another thing I did want to mention, everyone harps on about the Tigers' completion rate, how they're the best in the comp. They do have the best completion rate in the comp. And that is partly because of the way that they play, you know, early kicks and just being a bit safer with the ball. But some of completion rate is luck, I think. And I think that's going to regress to the mean a little bit for them. You saw last week they made a few mistakes against the Eels and they did lose that game. And I think it's not going to be as easy to, just play safe against the Warriors, who I do think will put on some points at home. Next up, we have the Sharks laying 2.5 points against the Eels. And the lowest total, really strange low total to me. It's 35.5. I've got 3 that I'm going to run by. I'm not sure if you're leaning the same way, but we'll see how we go. I've got Eels winning at halftime or full-time. That's $1.85 on CrownBet. They're like $2.15 to win the game. We'll lock that one in. Then I've got the Eels to score 15 or more points. That's $1.80 on CrownBet. And the reason why it's so low is that low total, but I checked the weather and the weather's fine. Then I've got a cracker here. I've got Eels over 2.5 tries. That is $1.90 on Will Hill. That is as low as $1.57 on other bookies. So that's the Eels to score over 2.5 tries, $1.90 on Will Hill. And those are my 3.
Yep. So like on paper, I think we spoke about this today. And in our power ratings, we have these two teams pretty much equal, Parramatta and Cronulla. Cronulla should probably be the better side, but, you know, there's still no Luke Lewis. There's no Paul Gallen in this team. And they just lost the man who's may or may not be stronger than this piece of paper in front of me, Joshy Dugan, yes, as well. So they're 3 key players. As much as we bag him, he's a good player. And, you know, what's curious as well is, okay, Dugan's out. This is the opportunity to slot Moylan back to fullback. He played well, and they won a couple of games with him there. And bring Hodkinson in, who's a perfectly worthy halves replacement. But no, you're going to slot Val back to fullback, where he's never been comfortable. You're going to weaken your outside backs even more, and you're going to leave the Moylan experiment to continue in the halves. And as we mentioned, Wade Graham back as well, but he's had a hammy troubles. He was withdrawn last week, so you don't even know if he's 100%. You compare that to the Eels, and we know they're not 100% either. I don't think they're missing Jarrod Hayne, but I do think they would be missing Nathan Brown. But you get back Moera into this side. It was a sad to see that Tony Williams' career may actually be over. Did his ACL. He actually had a really nice little cameo for the Eels. I thought his career already was over, and he came into this team, and he was one of their best forwards. And you've got to shout out Tony Williams for that, and he was involved in both the wins. And look, on those wins, and I've said the word confidence about the Eels every week when they were losing, they had none. Now they've won a couple of games, they're looking a lot better in attack. Those halves of Moses and Norman are showing us what we wanted to see earlier in the season. You've got other playmakers like French as well. So I just see these two teams trending in different directions. And on top of that, Sharkies lucky to get a win against the Titans. Disappointing how conservative they were. Once they got up 9-2, they never even really looked like they wanted to score another try and put away like a killer blow there. And that's, well, we were extra disappointed because we fucking had Cronulla -2 and they won by 1. But wasn't impressed by the Sharks there. And I think you don't get a huge home field advantage when two Sydney teams play anyway. So yeah, we'd probably be taking Parramatta. We'll see if we can get +4 as well. But those 3 plays you mentioned, winning at halftime or full-time on Crown is a beauty. To score 15 or more and to score over 2.5 tries, pretty similar plays, both great value on Crown and Willie, respectively. Let's get involved in those.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I took those over ones because, I mean, I know that, you know, the Sharks are quite depleted and historically have had quite a good defense. But 35.5 is a crazy total for a day where it's meant to be absolutely fine. You get totals like that where it's fucking a pissing rain and absolute abomination. So the Sharks, firstly, I do like this one. I do like this spot for the Eels, firstly, because the Sharks were lucky to get away with that one last week. You know, the Titans were right in there. And, you know, beating the Titans with Bryce Cartwright in the halves is not, you know, not a fucking great accomplishment in my mind. And if the Sharks did end up losing that game, this line, you know, would be possibly 1.5 or something like that. And same with the Eels, you know. Like you said, we thought that they were far superior to the Tigers last week. So we're getting a bit of value on that, because if they won that game by 14, 16 points, people would be looking at this one differently as well. Don't think the Eels will be complacent. They're fucking 2-6, so they still know there's work to do. But now they've got a bit of confidence, and you're seeing what that's done in the last couple of weeks. They've played well. I think that the Eels, this line should be closer to pick 'em. You know, maybe the Eels should be 1 point underdogs, but certainly not 2.5. Next up, we've got the Dragons. In game of the round, I would say this one is for sure. The Dragons are hosting the Storm. The Dragons are 1.5 point favourites and 38.5 the total. And I'm kind of, I know you're sitting on the fence with this one. Should I? I don't have any bets for this one. Do you? Because otherwise, I'll kick it off with what I think.
You go.
All right. So I do like the Storm in this one. I think that they are the better team. I understand that the Dragons are at home. You get Vunivalu back. I like that the Storm had an absolute training run last week against the Warriors. They're not fatigued. Whereas the Dragons, I know they get the extra rest, but you know that game was closer than it seemed against the Roosters. So everyone's fucking going on and on about how good the Dragons are, and I get they are good. You know, they're sitting top of the table. They're 7-1. But let me take you through the season of the Dragons, and you tell me if this is very impressive. Round one, they beat the Broncos. They pretty much beat up on them, yes, but the Broncos were absolutely horrible in that one. And what we know as punters is every punter remembers round one. That's the big round one. And if you make a statement in round one, people remember that. So people think, yes, the Dragons are fucking awesome. Then round two, they're down 12 points against the Sharks. They come back, just win. Easily could have lost that game. Rounds three and four, they beat Titans and the Knights, the two shittest teams in the comp. Round five, they beat the Rabbits with no Sam Burgess, where Cody Walker drops the ball with 3 minutes left on first tackle. You know, they could have lost that game as well. Round six, they beat the Sharks by 20, but that game was much closer. We watched that one at the coast, and we know that was much closer than 20 points. Then, round seven, they lost to the Warriors, no Sean Johnson. Then round eight, yes, that was quite an impressive win over the Roosters, but I thought it was a lot closer than that as well. I'm not saying the Dragons are bad. I'm just saying that 7-1 is probably not a good indication of how good they've been, and they have been, the Titans and the Knights in those eight games.
You took me on an absolute journey there, and you really made some great points. And it sucks. Like, we speak about how the way that you have to bet to make money, and not everyone who follows this is going to take every bet that we give out there, but we are just saying what's worked for us and what's allowed us to win 60%. And by the way, on this pod, we have now given out our 2,000th all-time best bet, plus a few more, because we had given out 1,999 free 50-50 best bets over the last four seasons until we started this pod. So 2,000 plays plus and winning at 60%. And we were the ones saying how good the Dragons were. Some of those matches that you mentioned, we were cashing tickets on those. We were all over the Dragons in round one. And then we even knew when to go against the Dragons, like when they lost to New Zealand without Sean Johnson. And I think that was a week where we hit the 60-1 multi as well, because we weren't afraid to take New Zealand in that game. And yeah, it's unfortunate that once the public finally catches up to what we knew at the start of the season, sometimes goes too far and a team goes from being underrated to overrated. And I agree with all those points. I guess what you have to say about the Storm is, though, that people also have a short memory and you know, maybe will overrate the fact that they destroyed a New Zealand team that didn't turn up. Losing Tim Glasby, that hurts a little bit when you're losing him on top of Jesse Bromwich, because those are two rep-level forwards. But you bring back Dale Finucane, you bring back Vunivalu. And look, I agree, Melbourne are the better team, but I do have to respect the home field advantage for the Dragons. You might be able to talk me into a couple of Storm plays. I'll have a sleep on it, because I think tomorrow when we wake up, the Storm will still be the underdogs. So that's why I haven't got a play straight away to give out on this game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the line will be similar tomorrow, and we might even be able to catch a two on the Storm, which will be good. Then rounding out round nine, the Roosters are hosting the Seagulls. The Roosters are 10.5-point favourites and 44.5 total. And I've got nothing on this one.
Yeah, because the line is probably about fair. You could make an argument that that line could be 9.5, it could be 10. But what I've said to you earlier today, and we do recap every game a little bit more in depth, although we try and keep it faster, but that's on a Sunday night at 6 p.m. On this page. And that's where we talk about the performance. And look, you had to hate the way that Manly played in that second half. And then after the game, they just felt sorry for themselves. And they said, oh, woe is me. We've had such a tough season. We lost our 5-8 in the first half. We were still against all odds. We hung in there and lost to the Knights by 6, as if I'm supposed to be fucking impressed by that when you're at home against the Knights who don't have Mitchell Pearce. And what I worry about with Manly is they're scraping together 17 players to play, and a few of those players are still good players and proud players. The Turbo brothers, obviously Cherry on his day. Dylan Walker, but he's out of position, is one of the many reasons why they could hang in this game. But if they get down early, is there any belief in this side? That's what I really worry about. They refuse to play Jackson Hastings. There's bad blood on top of all this. And then who you don't want to play is a team as deadly as the Roosters, with the amount of weapons that they've got. And they are another side like New Zealand who've had, well, they're going to have 11 days to think about how poor they were on Anzac Day. You know they might come out in this one and be in a mood. And if they do get up a couple of tries, you know, a team like Newcastle, Gold Coast, those sides, West Tigers, whatever, if they get down a couple of tries, they're going to keep fighting. Eels even recently. Is Manly going to keep fighting? Because if this ends up, you know, a 30 or 40 point loss, I'm not going to be that surprised. So then you would say, well, why not play the Roosters? Well, we just, you and I have never laid much in our lives, and we're certainly not laying 10.5 points. So that's why it's a stay away.
Yeah, it's a tough one, eh? Like, I think I saw this line at like 7.5 a bit earlier in the week. But yeah, 10.5 is probably a bit too high, because you can make an argument for both sides. Like you said, you know, what you don't like to go against is a really good team, which, you know, in our opinion is the Roosters. Some people might say no, but they are, you know, they're a top 4 team, coming off an embarrassing loss and with extra rest. And like you said, it's 11 days prep. They're going to be pissed and they're going to be ready to go for this one. But on the flip side, you've got Manly who, yeah, you have to question their motivation. They've looked very flat in the last couple of weeks. And then, you know, coming off a loss to the Knights, you know, losing their half. Like you said, you've got Dylan Walker playing out of position. Do they just come into this one and think, well, fuck, like, maybe this is just a throwaway game? Or do they come in with some effort? And the problem with taking the 10.5 is, like you said, if the Roosters are up 10 at halftime, Manly might just fold like origami. But if they're in it, you know, the reason for not taking Roosters, if Manly comes, you know, into this game fucking firing and really trying to prove a point, the scores might be level at halftime. And then in that case, they won't give up. So, yeah, it's just a tricky one. And like we say every week, you know, your advantage that you have as a punter is you don't have to bet every game. You can pick and choose. So this is probably a stay away.
Is that a dog barking I hear in the background? Is that trying to tell us something? Do we take the dog in this one? I think we've said why not, why we're not. I mean, they lost Jack Gajewski as well, who, as we said, they're so thin, and he's another guy. No one knows about him, but he's actually been one of their best every week. That's why we don't want Manly. But if you did want him, you'd look to play him maybe in the first half, because for the reasons you said, if they're down, I don't trust the heart of that team at all. Do you want me to list out the 20-odd plays that we've shared on this live pod, and then you can bring it home just to remind people where to find us?
Sure.
And where to get the app. We've got 5 plays on Broncos, Bulldogs. We're taking the Dogs plus +6.5, $1.92 on Ladbrokes. Taking them plus +4 in both halves on Crown. Taking them to win a half on Crown Bet as well. And taking them on Sportsbet to be winning at halftime or full-time. That's paying $2.25. We've got the Bunnies minus -3.5. on William Hill, $1.90, and minus -1.5 in the first half, also on William Hill. And I'll even throw another one out there, Knights under 18.5. I think that's a really good number as well, and we can get a good price, $1.87. That one's on William Hill as well. So that was one we did mention earlier. Let's grab that one as well. Is the next game, because I may have them out of order, Cowboys, Panthers,
yep.
Friday night.
Yep.
So we're taking Cowboys plus +2, $1.91 sports bet. We're taking the Cows plus +1 in both halves on Crown. We're taking the Cows to be winning at halftime or full time. That's a great bet on sports bet as well.
Did you want to take no 3 unanswered tries for the Broncos game at $1.90, or did you want to leave that till tomorrow?
Oh, let's take that one as well. Sorry. So that's on 365, the Broncos to not score 3 unanswered tries. The Warriors minus -4 on Neds. The Warriors.
Well, let's go Raiders. Let's go Raiders.
Sorry?
Oh, did you skip Raiders?
I fucked up. I skipped the Raiders game. I'll get to the Raiders game next. Sorry, lads. So we were doing this live. Literally, this is what happens in live TV when you get a couple of numpties together. But we do our best to try and keep winners. So on the Warriors game, minus -4 on Neds. You know, we give out no plays under $1.80. But I tell you what, Warriors to win at $1.62 straight up is also a great bet on Neds. And we have the Warriors to score over 20.5 points on Sportsbet at $1.88. The Raiders game, I didn't have
any... And the Warriors first half in the three-way market, $1.80 on Neds. Did you say that one?
Sorry. Yeah, I may have said that one, but we'll just double that one up. And Raiders-Titans, we've got under 46.5 on Neds, under 23.5 in the first half on Neds, and we've got that mechanical try line, which we'll spell out, but 57% on stake on under 8.5 and 43% stake on under 7.5, it's going to basically double your money, and you only lose if there's 9 tries in Raiders Titans. Parramatta to be winning at halftime or full time, $1.85 on Crown. Parramatta to score 15 or more on Crown. Parramatta to score over 2.5 tries on William Hill. I think that's the lot, right?
That's it, mate. Yes. So that's probably one of the most best bets we've given out live on the pod. But someone in the group actually did some stats and they said we were 80% on plays that we give out live on the pod. So it's probably a good sign for this week anyway. And I do like those plays a lot. That will wrap it for round nine, guys. Make sure you obviously download the app. It's just search Tripod, T-R-Y-P-O-D in the App Store or Google Play. That's where all our tips will be, all the multis from now on.
Learn the same game multi-glitch. You will find
that. Yes, learn the same game multi-glitch. Absolutely. And then obviously all our bonus bet comps as well. We'll have, I think, $200 to give away over the weekend. And yeah, like our page, Punters Pod on Facebook, on Insta and Twitter, we are tripod_betting. And then, yeah, for you guys that obviously for some reason can't get the app, or if you're at work and you can't look at your phone and you need to get the tips, you can go to tripodbetting.com. And that'll do it, lads. We'll catch you at Sunday at around 6 o'clock for the round wrap. See you then.
Thanks, lads.